by facts and driven by truth. Broadcasting live from beautiful British Columbia, it's Roadkill Radio.
Hi, everyone. I'm Carrie Simpson, and this is Roadkill Radio. Joining me as co-host tonight in the other driver's seat is...
Ron Gray.
And to either side of us, we have... Well, I guess you guys are getting to be sort of regular roadkill people now. As Mark Hashik, one of our other guests on Roadkill, says, the roadkill universe. We have Helen Ward and Gordon, or Helen Ward. Did I say that right to begin with?
Yeah. Did, yeah.
And Gordon World. There's just too many W's on
two
there.
W's. Yeah.
I'll tell you. Is that good for trouble? I'm not sure. You know, it just wrong or whatever. Never.
Let's start with congratulations on a first time out for Burnaby Parents Voice. That was a stellar beginning.
Well, and you know what? And this is what this show is about, because and when I've watched, because I mean, let's face it, the race for school trustee in Burnaby was epic. I mean, it was the saga of all sagas. It was I mean, let's face it, you guys just were the media attention.
You were newsmakers.
You know, whether you wanted it or not.
Big drama.
Yeah, the drama. Yeah, the ongoing drama. And that's what I want to talk about a little bit today, because there's so many different facets to what's gone on here. The conventional media, we all know that there's very particular bias, if you will, and we'll address that in a little while. There were the threats, the name-calling. This was a dirty campaign against you guys that, in language and words that I have never seen rival before. And just recently, this saga continues with Gordon, you actually being investigated for a hate crime, which we are going to talk a lot about, because this is all about what it takes nowadays to want to participate in your democracy. What happens if you want to be an elected official? What happens if you want to do what's right by school kids and sit on the school board and oversee proper education of children, rather than what we see as political agendas being carried out and sponsored financially by teachers' unions and those kinds of things? I mean, this has been an educational aspect for a lot of people, an educational experience bar none, as far as, well, you guys tell us. Have you learned a thing or two?
We sure have. My goodness. This is my, I know Helen's had some political experience in the past here. This is my first foray into the...
You're the newbie on the block,
the environment here. I mean, you know, previous to this, I was, involved in environmental things, chickens and such there. But anyways.
Oh, they're so tame compared to
this
politics.
Yeah, that's nothing compared to this. Eh?
But, okay, but let's go back, Gordon. Okay, because prior to what, March, April, May of this year, did you two even know each other?
No.
I don't know, July or August.
Yeah, it was summer that we knew each other. I'd met a few others, again at the rally in the springtime there.
Okay, so let's go back to the beginning on this, because a lot of this momentum was built over a policy that was brought in to Burnaby, a policy that was not brought in according to the government's own directive on how to do it. So the policy, in essence, is illegal, because there was a ministerial order dictating and demanding how these things should be met. The Burnaby School Board did not follow that policy, and as a matter of fact, created a policy that has generated a division like I have never seen. And the irony to this is that this is supposed to be about respect. When you look at what the minister is asking for in the development of these policies, it talks about these things, right? It talks about the school system should strive to create and maintain conditions that foster success for all students and promote fair and equitable treatment for all. Did this policy generate that kind of result?
No, it certainly did not. Nor did the process that formed this policy.
Okay, so take us back, and Gordon, I'll put the ball in your court here to start this out. You are a parent in the Burnaby School District. You found out about this policy, and take us down this journey. Take us down this road that has led you to this journey And a journey that's far from over yet.
Yeah, no, we're in some ways we're just getting started here. I mean, to summarize again, it was into the springtime, late in the springtime, that word was just starting to percolate about this policy. I had heard, second, third, whatever, fourth hand. It was actually I think somebody's brochure that alerted me to it. It certainly hadn't flowed the way it should have done through DPAC and through the individual PACs there. The way that in theory it should have flowed through there. So in any event, I found out again late in the day days ticking on the clock there. The district and the school board were hell bent on pushing it through by the time school ended there. And although they make claims that they extended the deadline and did all sorts of wonderful things, at the end of the day, they certainly did not make even reasonable efforts to hear what parents had to say about this.
Well, and to add to that, you as a parents group, because eventually as parents started becoming aware of what was going on in the district, because the trustees certainly hadn't given any information, certainly hadn't followed the guidelines of having consultation process with parents and other stakeholders, all of that was just we're just not even going to go down that route. Instead, they held kind of secret meetings. They formed an ad hoc committee that involved activist teachers. And you as parents sort of started coming together and educating yourself on what was going on, but you attempted to get the information. You attempted to get the rationale and why we were doing this, the statistics, how much bullying was going on in the schools, and you did this lawfully. You made information requests under the Freedom of Information Privacy Act. What happened to those requests?
Well, in many cases, we're still waiting, right? I mean, look at the initial request for the information that we requested regarding 545, to begin with. We're still waiting on that. Regarding the bullying, right? Chronology of bullying and to what degree?
Well, to get a baseline about how much suicide is going on in Burnaby among young people, and also baseline about how much bullying is going on and who's getting bullied, we don't have that information.
Yeah, to date, we have not received that information.
Well, and again, those statistics are required through the Ministry of Education, again, through this program, that the district is supposed to keep these files. Yeah. They're supposed to keep information on bullying incidents, and they're supposed to report that information to you as parents. Are you telling the Roadkill Radio universe here that these orders have not been followed in Burnaby?
Carrie, that's exactly what I'm telling you.
Shock.
Gordon, Helen, the story behind the story here, and I think this is truly remarkable, is that some parents, there was no organization, some parents whose rights and whose children were being abused came together gradually to say, stop it, ask for information, got stonewalled. When they turned over that rock and the snakes came out, you discovered there was a lot more behind the scenes than what had originally caused you the concerns. They didn't give up. They came together, they became an organization, and they did something. This kind of citizen activism, I think, is so commendable. Mm. It is so much needed throughout Canada today. That's the story behind the story here.
Mm-hmm. Well, and for those viewing this story for the first time, I should make it very clear, Roadkill Radio has gone out of our way to extend opportunities for the chairman of your school board, Larry Hayes, to come and be on the show and present his side, Claudio Morelli. We've even offered to go and meet with these people and sort of go through exactly what they should have been doing legally in this process. And, I'm a bit confounded as to why they haven't taken up us on any of our offers. Either they didn't know what they were doing, so they should have welcomed the information that you as parents and we as media sorts were willing to give them. Either that, or they should have come on here and been able to defend why they're just kind of saying, we're going to ignore parents, we're going to ignore what the Ministry of Education is requiring. Either way, they don't look good on a whole bunch of fronts.
But they've got their own tame media.
You mentioned about, they're supposed to consult with parents. Well, I know what that means, because parents are always consulted. That word has no specific meaning. I mean, if there's a parent among any of the people, or more than one parent, so that's parents, among the people who they actually do consult, that counts as consulting parents. They don't, I mean, there's no specificities about what they mean by consulting parents.
Two or more.
Yeah, two or more parents. And there's like if maybe Morelli and Hayes are parents or something like that. So that counts as parents.
Oh, I forgot.
Yeah, I mean, I just know like one reason why I got involved in this whole thing is because, oh, here's a bunch of parents trying to do something. And it's and they're experiencing the typical political marginalization that parents, you know, just go back to sleep, go away, or go to a private school or go somewhere else. That's... you know, always the case with parents because they're not politically organized and they don't have like a, you know, a union body or professional body or a corporate body or a legal body to fight for them. So, yeah, they consulted parents. They actually did.
If you don't like it here, go to a private school, but continue to give us your tax money.
I mean, right off the bat, like way back, I calculated like how many, you know, what's going on in Burnaby? How many kids aren't, because I know a lot of people who aren't going to school in Burnaby and I wondered how many is there? So I emailed the Ministry of Education stats people and did some calculations. About 20% of the children who have Burnaby postal codes aren't attending public school in Burnaby. So they never ask why. So what's going on with that? I mean, this is just part of that problem.
Well, you know, and those are legitimate questions that needed answers and, and still do need answers.
Yeah, they focused on the 545 because they don't want to answer those questions. There's many questions. They just want to, like, distract people from those real issues that everybody's concerned about, whatever their stance on 545 is.
So let's move on. And you guys as parents do what you can democratically. You try to make your voices heard. The trustees are hell-bent on going down this path without revisiting the issue and trying to keep some form of respectful environment within the school, because this is this has created division like I have never seen in a district. The municipal elections come along. There's seven positions for trustees available. Your parent organization put forward five candidates. I mean, you brought this political organization together in record speed, something I've never seen, and you actually impacted the election. You got on the map there. You guys made a very, very sound and obvious presence on things.
Made a few headlines.
But let's talk about those headlines, Helen. I watched this thing. You know, I tried to put on my hat as an observer, and knowing what I did about the facts in this case, I've never seen such biased reporting, outright lies, outright defamation, hate speech. I mean, the hate that was targeted at the Asian Christian community, it was ugly. It was a very poor reflection on our civil society, which typically, you know, except for the activists, you know, we all get along with each other. But these people took this opportunity to create a climate of hate, aided and abetted a lot of times by the media. And Helen, I want to address this specifically to you because you have a brilliant way of writing, and you also don't take BS, you know, and so I commend you. And you know, we try here on Roadkill to continually send the message to civil, common sense Canadians, you must stand up for your rights. But you, beyond stand up for your rights, you give back and with a little spank that they needed. So tell us a little bit about the media coverage with you. And the reason why I'm going to ask you to address this is because, number one, you're very familiar to the Roadkill audience, not for your work related to the Burnaby issue, but for your broader work. I mean, you are one busy individual, well-respected within the media, respected within parent groups. You head up a very important organization called Kids First, Parenting Organization in Canada. You have been in the trenches working for parental rights for way too many years, you know, because and this is an ongoing work, which is a sad commentary on government, because one shouldn't have to work so hard to make sure parents have rights in this country. Have you ever seen anything like this in your professional work?
Well, my unpaid professional work. No. I mean, I've seen that parents are routinely insulted and marginalized and ignored and fed misinformation. That's standard. But the vitriol, the racist stuff, that's, I mean, I grew up in Burnaby. I never saw it in my life. My dad worked on interfaith dialogue and anti-racism. And this is new to me. This is what is going on here, and why isn't anybody saying anything? It was, you know, we asked the board to make any kind of a statement, even a sentence. You know, we do not condone this, the racism. Mm-hmm. That's all. And send it out to your teachers or to the media or to anybody. They didn't do anything like that, and they actually refused. Ron Burden, one of the trustees, said, oh, we can't do that. I mean, Gordon asked them. They took the vitriol, examples of it from the media and the online commentary, and he said, we can't do anything. We can't track this down.
Well, no, like, they could have demonstrated leadership
absolutely.
You know, this is not acceptable.
Yeah.
This is not acceptable in our school. This is not acceptable in our community.
Yeah.
And everybody should condemn that kind of language.
Yeah, well, my friends who were in favor of 545, a couple of them said to me, they're really concerned about this racist stuff because they weren't, that was just something new to them, and they wondered what was going on, and there wasn't leadership from the board, and the board refused to do leadership. And it's, I mean, the Muslim community was targeted. I mean, there's anti-immigrant rants in the media, not just online commentary too. And I'd never read anything like that before.
Vilification. I agree with you. I was horrified when I read some of those. And of course, there is a human rights complaint that has now been launched. Gordon, I believe your wife is part of that complaint. There's been four people named, and they're also appearing on behalf of the Burnaby Pierce. So we're going to watch that very closely because, again, you stood up to the bullies, and that's obviously something that needs to be done. Now, Helen, specifically the media, the Burnaby Now, the local papers, what's your read on how all that went down?
Well, earlier in the campaign, I did a CBC interview on the early edition of Morning Interview. Ron Burton from the BCA was on too,
and he was a sitting trustee at the time.
And the interviewer asked about. She said our organization started as in opposition to this 545 policy, and what are other issues? That's what her question. And so I listed A, B, C, D, a bunch of issues. I mean, a whole bunch of issues. I mean, I have a lot of issues to bring forward. And, advertising in the schools, the 20% that aren't attending the schools, the falling academic standards, et cetera. Okay, that was the interview. And then the Burnaby Now, the editor of the Burnaby Now, Pat Tracy, in an op-ed, attacked me without naming me, carefully not naming the well-spoken Burnaby Parents Voice candidate you heard on the radio, who was sounded really good and all these great ideas, but do not be deceived. I'm being dishonest and being deceitful. And I skillfully avoided a question that was not asked.
Wait a minute. Okay, so this is the editor of the
Burnaby
Now.
How do you avoid a question that's not asked?
It's tricky. I don't know.
You are good, Helen. Okay, the editor of the Burnaby Now writes an op-ed piece about you, but doesn't name you, but obviously it's about you. Presents misinformation.
Well, she attacks my character, my personality, in my local paper, my local community, and by not naming me, she's obviously trying. I mean, standard journalistic practice, you always put the person's name in if you know it. She's trying to avoid a libel suit or something. It looks like that. I mean, I live in this community. I live in this neighborhood. I don't drive a car. I walk down the street. You know, I don't hide away from people. I can't hide away from people. And she could have. I mean, I've been in her newspaper numerous times over the years. That they know me. I've been on the front page of their paper with various
Google
issues.
Google your name. Goodness.
I mean, her editor. Yeah. I mean, her reporters know me by name, and they say hi, and they know me by when they see me. And they've covered issues that I put forward, all kinds of stuff, plus community dances, etc., etc. And she could have just given me a call or something like that.
Oh, but she chose to be a coward instead.
Well, she attacked my personality, my character in a public forum in a way that she's trying to skip around defamation laws, which I'm not all sure what they are. And then after that, I sent in a response and clarified the question wasn't asked. This is the other things that I've done for this community. I'm not a newbie to family issues or parent or child issues.
You've been leading the charge on those issues.
Well,
if we're going to be truthful people.
I mean, I've got a pretty solid record on these kinds of issues and person who would be, sought out to run for this kind of a position in the school board.
The district would have been a much better place with all of you in a seat on that board.
But, and then so they did carry my response, and I appreciate that. But then she, the next edition or so, she put in two letters again attacking me. And I noticed that the one that did not, again, did not name me, by Trevor Ritchie, trashed me, called me attack dog, said I was lying, and all sorts of stuff like that. And another letter did name me, by James Chamberlain, who you might want to talk about. he attacked me, but not personally. It wasn't an ad hominem attack. It said, don't be duped by my rhetoric about parental empowerment. But it was not quite as, the vitriolic as the other ones. And so he could also probably avoid a libel suit there, too. I'm not sure, because I don't know all the laws about details of those kinds of laws. But so it was three personal attacks in my local paper. I mean, I've delivered that paper. My son had a paper route, and I dragged that paper up and down the hill.
Rip that page
in the
out.
Wind and rain and snow and sleet, helping my son deliver that paper a few years back, it's not on. I've got friends calling me, why are you with this group? Because the stuff they published about is always saying we're not about anything except for hate, and we're pro-bullying. They actually published a letter saying that we want children to be bullied.
You're the group that's saying, wait a minute, let's demonstrate respect for everybody. This is where when the newspapers now, and I want to get into that, because I think people have to remember this about the conventional media. The board that you were running against, the incumbent board, is very closely tied to the unions. As a matter of fact, in 2008, I think...
It was endorsed by all of them.
It was endorsed by all the unions.
Teachers Union and the BTA.
And they get money. In 2008, they got money from the BC Teachers Federation, which is the BC Teachers Union. The Burnaby Trustees Association, which is the local union of
Burnaby
the
Teachers
Beach,
Association.
Burnaby Teachers Association. Yeah. So we have this that advertises in the newspaper.
Well, and note, please, I'm just sort of learning this, that the membership of the union does not vote on how their funds are used as far as donating to political parties. I mean, I know teachers have come up to me and said, we don't agree with this, but they don't have any control of what their funds, they're required
to do. What the executive does.
I'm a pro-union person, but it's like they're not, the membership does not control how these, how their funds are spent on advocacy and donating to political parties. I mean, obviously not all the teachers in Burnaby are voting for exactly the same party all the time, right? I mean, they don't support all the same things.
Well, and let's face it, too, teachers have no option but to be part of a union, the teachers' union, because of the laws of this particular line. So we have a lot of good teachers that would rather, give the bird to the BC Teachers Federation, but our laws keep them basically confined and imprisoned to that union, whether they want to be there or not.
Well, my mother is a retired Burnaby teacher. I got friends who are teachers. I'm a teacher, not in the school system. There's a concern that teachers are, it's sort of a culture of silence because of, I won't be getting a job in a hurry in the Burnaby system, I don't suppose. publicly funded jobs that are out there.
Well, there might be something for you, though, in the private system, Helen, because I understand a lot of people are pulling their kids out of the Burnaby system. Mostly because of comments like Ron Burton, that parents can go get their kids educated. They don't like this. They can get... Now, is that
that's
not...
That's pretty shocking. Really shocking.
That is...
That's illegal.
Well, that is a blatantly discriminatory statement. That man is discriminating. He's saying, I know I'm creating policies that will divide this school district. Some people will not be able to feel welcome in the school district because of it. We've purposely created a hostile environment for some of our members of society, which diversity is supposed to be respected at all costs, according to the Ministry of Education. So they're blatantly...
They're challenging. I mean, he said that in the interview that I did with CBC with him, he said that then, the 20%, we've lost some because of religious things, and you're not going to get them back.
Yes.
And he again reiterated the same thing in an interview with the SFU's The Peak, saying that people with, you know, certain religious beliefs might, you know, should seek accommodation of their beliefs outside the public school system. But accommodation is exactly what the Supreme Court of Canada requires. And that's, I've been saying that, it's accommodation. It's like, you know, you have to accommodate people's beliefs. And he says, well, how far can we take it? It's like, well, you just keep accommodating. I mean, it's like, look at how they accommodate, like, languages on the labels in Europe. I mean, you've got like 15 different languages on a label of a product in Europe. You just do it. Mm-hmm. And it's not that difficult. You know, I remember when I was in grade 3, there was a kid in my class, Jeffrey. He was a Jehovah's Witness. It was a time when they still did the Lord's Prayer. And during that time, he just went to the cloakroom and then he came back. And it was no problem at all. Nobody targeted Jeffrey, no thought anything of it. He went over there and then he came back. That was the beginning of it. And we learned about diversity because, oh, I guess some people don't do this. So I guess that's fine. That's all.
Well, and actually, you were respecting his right to not mm-hmm. participate yeah. in your yeah. custom was, or belief. Yeah.
And it was just the school at that time had a, you know, basically privileged, you call it this mainline Protestant religion. And it stopped doing that, you know, sometime in the 70s. And now what
well,
they're going to privilege another belief.
Do you want to know what the judge said in that case? That's the Lambert case. It said, if one child feels ostracized, we can't have this. I should pull the language out. You guys would just find it quite amusing that this is because one child would feel ostracized.
Like well, remember this kid in my class. I mean, he was a friend of mine, and the teacher, he just went over there, and it was just not a big deal. And we could have learned. I mean, because I remembered that, and it was just like, oh, that's what sometimes people go over there, and sometimes they come back, and that's just what we do.
Well, you know, and BC, and we were out. Well, actually, we're going to get to a story involving Gordon World's living room here that happened in just a few weeks back. But we ended up going out for a business breakfast after we finished filming the RCMP. That is a teaser, people. You will want to hear what happened here. And in Burnaby here. And we went to, I believe it was Denny's. And the place had a lot of people coming and going, all different kinds of visibly different ethic.
Any cops there? Any cops there?
And, you know, I watched the interaction between the waitresses and all the people. You know what? There is a kindness and a caring environment to our society. We mm-hmm. are an embracing community of diversity, visible difference, where people are truly respectful and kind. And I look at what's happened because of what those trustees have done to the school environment. And I didn't realize to the degree of the animosity that had been birthed into the students until I watched a video production just recently of when you made a presentation to the school board, Gordon. And I want to talk about that because this is very concerning to me. I attended one or two of the rallies, and what struck me was the use of students as political pawns, that they recruited these kids from some of the high schools, the signs and the messages. I mean, these kids, I would, you know, and we've actually talked about it, you know, why don't we bring them in and interview them on Roadkill and see how much factual knowledge they really have about all these issues or what has been implanted into their minds, what kinds of seeds of hatred have been born in their hearts as a result of the politicizing of their classrooms. Now, something very concerning happened to you, Gordon, and I want to be very clear in this because it is troubling at best. You made a number of presentations to the school board over various issues involving this policy 5.45, presentations that asked legitimate questions about freedom of information issues, how the policy was developed. But there was one presentation because part of the information that you received involved a program that, unbeknownst to most parents, was in the schools called Out in Schools. Okay? And you, and I read your speech, and I watched your speech, you know, because you, here in the media, we have to make sure, you know, that you may look like a nice guy, but, you know, according to all those media reports, your speech was respectful, tame, asked legitimate, proper questions about how the board had done this. Why hadn't they told parents about this program, those kinds of things. And as a result of your willingness to exercise your right, not only as a parent, but as a taxpayer, You were informed a short time after this production that you were being investigated by the RCMP for
potential hate crime.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, okay, all you viewers out there, listen to this. Concerned parent, concerned taxpayer, hardworking individual, businessman, informed citizen goes to school board, as all of us have the right to do, makes a presentation about a program, by the way, a program that linked kids to hardcore porn, a program that invited them to participate in a public service announcement and then exposed them to games called lesbian debauchery and a few other things. We won't go into all the details. There's lots out there on video. You can find out about this program. Legitimate questions you ask. Now, tell me, how did all of this unfold? You made your presentation, and thankfully it was all on videotape.
Yes, yeah, thankfully it was.
You received a phone call? Is that how you first found out about this?
Yeah, I did receive a phone call. It was a blocked call. I always worry about the blocked calls there. But yeah, the person on the other line informed me that he was an RCMP officer and that he wanted to speak to me regarding my comments that I had made on October 25th there.
Okay, so October 25th was the night that you made your presentation.
Yes.
And what concerns me about that night and in watching the video, and we will make everything available, as we always do, to our viewers, because we believe in transparency and we believe that you have a right to know how your resources are being spent, including resources to fund the RCMP. What intrigued me about the video that I saw is not only after you made your presentation with questions, during question period, you asked a few more questions that were right on point. I'm not going to get into all the details on that because I think there's a whole nother show in the response from the trustees. But after you spoke, a young man got up, a young man named Chris Chiavanti, I think. And he made an astounding declaration alluding to you about what the trustees are going to do about the hate speech that was resonating from this very podium.
From this very podium.
So here we have a 15-year-old, he may be 16 now, I'm not sure exactly, 15 or 16-year-old student, bright student because he's won some awards, who's indoctrinating this kid with this propaganda, a very bad understanding of the law, a very bad understanding about freedom of speech and how democracy works. If this kid is an example of what the Burnaby School District is producing as a student in a free and democratic society, the problems far and exceed the issues around 5.45. Yeah. This is a travesty of justice for this particular student, and if this is in fact an example of what other students are doing. And I suspect it is, because I've seen the students demonstrating against you. You know, are these kids being used and abused as political pawns? And I think there's only one answer, and it has to be yes. So the reason why I use this student's name is because he is a 15 or 16. He is articulate. He chose to speak up at a public meeting. He's invited to come on Roadkill anytime, and I will extend that invitation to him in other ways, because I would love to interview him. But he also ended up being identified as one of the complainants of hate speech that generated this RCMP investigation. Now, tell us what happened at the call. You were being investigated for a hate speech.
Being investigated, and you know, we just worked out a agreeable time, you know, time and date to meet there, and you know, that was it.
Okay, so they want to meet with you.
Well, yeah, they want to meet.
That's pretty serious stuff.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, and it, you know, I got things to do. I can't meet, like, you know, like right away. So this had to go. We'd work it out with the officer shift. And anyway, long story short, it took about a week, right? So I get a call that says, hey, you might be in trouble. And then I got to wait a week to find out, you know, what exactly is going on, right? And, you know, I can take a lot of stress and stuff.
Well,
but I mean, I could live without that stress.
A week,
right?
During campaign.
Exactly.
Is that a coincidence?
Well, yeah. You know, that is very troubling to me that this would all come down. Now, This meeting was scheduled, I think, for the Tuesday following the campaign. Mm-hmm. So you got 2 days of recoup. And I found out about this complaint. I think you emailed me. And I just went, well, I won't use the term ballistic. I thought, you know, isn't this just the tactics that are being used continuously to silence people who are speaking truth and bringing balance? Because I think there is a momentum building for people, common sense civil Canadians, to just, we're fed up with the political correct, we're fed up with the nonsense, and fed up with the lies. If we're going to talk about these issues, let's do it in a healthy debate, exchange views, exchange facts rather than bogus statistics. Let's deal with this in a civil, mature manner. Because, well, that's the last kind of arena of debate that they want.
I could have mentioned, like, some of the students who were at the protests, who were leaders in that, I spoke at Mosscrop School. They had an all candidates debate there. Or not all, but most. Some candidates debate there.
Some candidates.
And it was the most civilized debate I attended. The students organized it. Obviously, they had some teachers helping. You know, when I went in, it's like this, the gym was full of kids and all these different groups. There's girls who have the scarf on their head and just, you know. And two of the kids who've been front and center in some of the protests, they asked questions. And I'd had an opportunity to meet with one of them beforehand and chat with her. She didn't mention this stuff at all. I suspected she was involved with that, but I don't care. I like kids. And I like this kid. And they asked questions about 5:45, and there's just kind of like this hush in the because it's like, you know, they want to ask, you know, what was parents' voice? Why are we opposed to this? And these kind of questions. And like, yeah, ask the actual question.
Yeah.
And of course, you only have 1 minute to answer. You know, so that limits the discussion. But you know, I said, you know, we celebrate diversity, but diversity is also a huge challenge. We have diverse beliefs. And, you know, the Supreme Court says you have to accommodate different beliefs, and parents do have these parents have authority over their children's education. Just those two factual points about the law. There was a good feeling in the room, and like one of the girls who'd been, I don't know, front and center in the protest, she came up to me and she shook my hand and we talked, and like I said to them, I said, you can, you know, call me up and we'll talk, because I mm-hmm. feel a connection with kids, and they haven't been provided with some information.
No, they haven't, and
they did run a really great you know, that forum was, you know, it's limited in a 1 minute answer debate, but I felt you know, really good about that interaction, and I think we need to build on it, because, you know, this, you can make people foam at the mouth if you want, or you can bring it down. We need to live together with people who we disagree with.
Yeah.
Peacefully.
Wouldn't she make a great trustee?
Yeah.
But isn't it interesting?
Just for the record, she was number one.
And she will be. the next time.
Isn't it interesting that the putative issue behind all this is bullying? But then mm-hmm. look at how Gordon was treated, you were treated better, but
you were treated nicely.
Wasn't there really bullying? I mean, who's bullying whom?
Oh, no, that was... Yeah.
Well, the irony, yes.
Yeah, yeah, there's an irony in that.
And it's obvious. The irony is obvious. Okay, before I get back to our story involving the RCMP, and yes, there was video, people. Helen, when you heard that Gordon was being investigated for hate speech, what was your reaction?
Well,
she was baking me a pie.
Well, first, to get him out of prison. So they don't bake pies. So, I mean, the first thing is, well, what did he say? I mean, like, give me the evidence, or what is the allegation specifically, and what did he specifically say? It's sorry, but I'm a English major, and it's like, well, give me the text. I mean, you got to focus on the text and what the text says. You know, I'm obsessed with that. It's just like, but that doesn't seem to be the standard procedure anymore. You just, of course Gordon's doing hate speech because he's such a hateful guy. It's like, you know, just make assumptions. And you know, nobody could give me any indication.
Facts.
Well, or you know, what did he say that was could be considered a hate speech? And
exactly.
Nobody gave me any, so I couldn't really go on beyond that.
You know, and I share that sort of logical, factual approach with you, and that's why when we met with the RCMP officers, and let's talk about that. And we do have video clips for all of you.
Because the other thing is, at the November 1st very nasty debate that happened, or I should say contentious debate, Deb Sutherland, a teacher who who I hadn't met before, in the chat time before the debate, she came right up to me, specifically me, and she said, you know, did you know what Gordon, I'm Deb Sutherland, I'm a teacher or counselor, I guess, at Burnaby North, and she tried to make me think that Gordon, did you hear what he did? He made my student so upset what he said at that meeting. I said, well, I wasn't there. I don't know what he said. You know, sorry your student's upset, you know. But she came to me because she knows I have a background in human rights advocacy, and Gordon was sitting right beside me, but she was trying to tell me, like, he's bad. You know, you should watch out for him. And it's like, well, but I, you know, tell me what the problem was, and then I could, you know, maybe I will help address it with you, because if it's a concern, I will take it to him, you know.
Yes.
But no, so she was trying to trash Gordon to me, and then she just came to me only to speak to me because she left. She had to go somewhere. But so
she didn't impressive. Talk to me.
And she was a complainant in the thing.
That is
well, we found that out. Because now let's talk about the morning of Tuesday following the election, okay? It's early in the morning. I have found out about it, so I said, Gordon, I'm going to come to Burnaby at some ungodly hour, 7:30 in the morning.
Ditch the horses that day.
My poor starving animals locked in the barn. Actually, that was a very interesting morning because we'd had a huge windstorm. It was like World War II out where I live in South Langley. And I called one of our producers, Jim, to attend with a video camera and recording devices, because I think, okay, you know, we want a full record of what's going on here. If these RCMP officers are doing what's right, they shouldn't have any problem with this. So let's go. That morning, they knock on the door, introduce themselves, and tell our viewers what happened at that point.
Okay, well, of course, welcome them into the house. One of the first questions after introducing themselves was to ask if there's somewhere, quote, private, more private than the living room that we can meet.
Because I was sitting in the living
room.
I was invading the privacy.
Yeah, more than the room itself. I guess they were hoping to avoid having to be with Carrie there. But anyway, I said, I said, hey, you know, this is where we're meeting. Please have a seat. So of course they had no choice but to sit. So, anyways, sit we did, and we had some introductions and shared some identification.
Well, some of us did. they wanted mine, you know, so I gave them a business card. I had no problem doing that. But then in a very officious manner, it was no proper identification with Simpson. And I said,
they have no right to
your
ask.
Papers, please.
They have no right to ask her anything without a warrant.
Well, we all know that. But you know, I'm aware of how RCMP and police tactics are, you know, sort of ingrained into how they're supposed to conduct interviews. And, you know, I'm easy to get along with. And you know, I try not to make trouble. So, but if somebody pushes the envelope, an envelope that they have no right to open, you know, I'll make sure that envelope stays closed. So, of course, Ms. Simpson, you proper identification. And I said, well, I'm not going to provide it to you. And what, is there a problem with that?
Show me your tattoo.
Yes. Shh, don't tell anyone about the tattoos, Helen. Come on. Now you'll all be wondering, won't you? I don't know. Send enough money and maybe I'll tell you. then I said, well, no, I'm not going to provide it. Well, you don't have a driver's license? I said, yes, I have a driver's license. Well, why won't you give it to us? I said, because I'm not being investigated here. And they said, well, you know, I'm not trying to be difficult. And I said, neither am I. So we had this nice, so let's get on with it. So they took a few notes and then we got on with it. So I was glad I could just help them out with their interview at that point by moving things along. But then they warned you, didn't they, Gordon?
There was, well, I think they warned me a few sentences after, but they were keen. They did not want to divulge much. Okay. It was us asking questions, you know, what is the nature of, because basically they wanted to get me on tape saying whatever, whatever.
Well, and like in typical, you know, you're being investigated here, you know, but you really don't have to say anything.
That was a few sentences after. Was, oh, by the way,
it was almost your Miranda rights, but not quite, right? You rightly said, well, I'm not going to really say too much. But as the conversation flowed, we finally said, look, have you seen the video? And they admitted that they had seen the video a week after the presentation. And so we both had our pens in hand ready to find out what the concern was. So we asked the question. It was, okay, now you watch the video. What in that delivery of Gordon's speech, what words were uttered that are hate speech? What are you concerned about?
And again, you know, I go to great lengths when I put a speech together. I have people vet it. I become very, especially lately, very careful about the words that I choose. And I felt deep down inside that this was a pretty tame speech.
Yeah,
I mean, sometimes my manner is pretty confrontational when I, you know, talk to people like Hayes and Burton. But there's no law against being confrontational.
Well, but it's not even confrontational. You're putting them on the spot. Well, they are officials. They're governing the district. That's their proper role and your proper role to put those questions to them.
Yeah. So bottom line, the content was tame. Okay. And that's why I was surprised. You know, and that's what. And again, we had to press sentences. Okay, well, you know, okay, you've seen the speech and, you know, and
we're waiting,
you know, we're trying to funnel this thing down, right? And they're just like, well,
I said, finally, I said, well, what are you concerned about?
Yeah,
well, we're not.
Well, yeah, so why are we all here?
We asked,
we have
why,
donuts? So was there donuts?
Why are we here? Yeah, there were no donuts, so it couldn't be for the donuts, Helen. Okay,
Gordon, I have a question.
Sure.
Were they tape recording this conversation?
Not at that point.
No. The only time they brought out a tape recorder was when they wanted, quote, my statement, which was a non-statement, right? Because basically I said, okay, I was there for 10 minutes. I had 10 minutes of speech, thanks to Mr. Hayes, who cut me off promptly at 10 minutes. And
keep you in line, Gordon.
Yeah, so basically, either I have said something that crossed the line or did not. Why are you coming to me saying, I want your side of it, right? You know, there was something said, and
well, either it's a criminal breach of the law,
well, exactly,
or it's not.
Exactly.
And I have to tell you, I was astounded at that point that they would admit that they had no concerns, yet here they are wasting your time, taxpayer, and it gets worse, Helen, taxpayer dollars on investigating nothing. They knew it was nothing. They had nothing. It was proved to be nothing, and yet they're doing this. Now,
So next time you've got a crisis in your home or something like that, or domestic abuse, and you call the police and they come late, well, you can...
Yeah, they're at Gordon's house.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was like Seinfeld, the show about nothing.
Yeah. It was the show about nothing. So,
it was bullying.
Well, you know what? And that's concern. And I raised that issue with them because, and I've done quite a bit of research on the ethics and integrity of the RCMP. And this was not professional. This was not honest. This was not about respect. This was about intimidation tactics to get you to shut up and send a clear message to anybody who would raise these issues that this was not going to, you know, that if you wanted to speak truth, you were going to have to be held, you know, possibly criminally responsible for something, for saying nothing. Now, what became very interesting at this point, because in the conversation then, after they admitted it was nothing, I held them to it. And I said, well, look, why have you left Mr. World hanging for a week knowing that there was nothing criminal in this? You know, why are you doing this? Well, we have to do a thorough investigation. Well, wait a minute. But you've already ascertained that there's nothing to investigate. So what is the investigation on? The from our point of view, though, not to mention that we have the video and you will be able to see this full length video at the end of this production. But then we started getting down to, all right, who made the complaint, right? And I think that happened a little bit before we knew it was this counselor that had come up to you, Helen,
Deb Sutherland.
Now, for all you viewers, you've probably heard her name before involved in the Burnaby issue, but what you should know is Deb Sutherland was in a complainant against me in a human rights case because I issued a document where parents could exercise their rights. So Deb Sutherland doesn't like parents who exercise their rights, and she doesn't like parents who speak truth. So she'll use whatever little legal entity that she can to intimidate people. Yeah. So this is, you know, this kind of, and I raised the issue with the RCMP. I said, you know, maybe we should entertain a public mischief charge here, you know.
Well, it is. I mean, if she's wasting, I mean, Sometimes people really need the police, and they need them now.
Yeah.
And if you're wasting time, you could have called Gordon and said, there's nothing here. Go back home. Take it easy. No, they wasted time.
He didn't even have to know about
police
it.
Time
Helen,
is
yeah.
Police time is important, because when you need them, you need them.
Well, I'm going to tell you something I found out today, because I called to get the exact spelling of the officers involved, which we will put on your screen so you know who these individuals are. There is not even a file. The dispatcher couldn't find a file or a record that they'd actually been at Gordon's house. So it's a good
thing. Well, I don't have a record.
We have a video. So, you know, what are we investigating? There's no file. There's nothing. And
were
then,
they coming on their off time or what?
And then they tell us that they haven't even talked to Deb Sutherland yet. She made the complaint by phone, and the student that we referred to earlier made the complaint. So who is educating this Chris that this was a hate crime, that this was hate speech? If this is what we are indoctrinating the kids with, then there needs to be somebody held accountable, Ms. Sutherland. And if this student has been in your midst, and this is the kind of propaganda that you are indoctrinating these students with, then I think we need to have a visit between the BC College of Teachers and yourself, because you need sensitivity training along with some legal training about what is free speech versus what is hate speech.
You know, Carrie, before you go to film, too, just before we came on air, Helen and I were talking, and she said something that I think deserves to be enunciated publicly, and that is that unions and publicly traded corporations, you know, federally, they are not allowed to make political contributions, and they should not be allowed to provincially or municipally either, for a very, very simple reason. The managers of those unions and publicly traded corporations are not dealing with their own money. They're dealing with other people's money, and not all of those other people agree with the uses they're making of it.
Mm-hmm. Now, we asked, that's one thing we put out, that the press did not cover, you know, because we're only one issue party, right? So we don't have any other issues, no matter how many issues we bring up, that there should be no corporate or union funding for municipal politics. Because in Burnaby, one thing we found for sure was that the taxicab company that has over $300,000 contract yearly, no bid contract, is a donor to $3,500 at least in the last election.
Last election, yeah.
And that they were offering rides to BCA voters during the election. And I found out more about those taxicab rides. It's like they're driving kids. Some kids are able-bodied kids to and from school. It's not like for disabled kids to go to a special program or something. That's not the only use of those cabs. But you know, it's kind of a nice cash cow.
Well, and that's what it's about, right? That has to be an end to it. So that is, we can all work on that throughout the years, that, you know, just end the corruption within.
Well, money going to a taxi cab company that could go to the family to buy their groceries. I mean, as a low-income parent, it's like $200 a week or something on the taxi for the kid. Well, that would might relieve a lot of the stress that the family might be experiencing, or $200 a month or so at least. I mean,
yeah. No. Nope. It's But you had no other issues, Helen.
No.
And when you did, you were
lying.
Hiding something.
You were lying. Yeah.
I know. I made them up. That's what they actually said.
You're so good at
somebody,
the rhetoric, Helen.
Some political clever person designed this wish list or something. Yeah. That's what the editor now is.
Oh, those spin masters behind you guys. Way behind. Okay. So then our questioning of the RCMP got a little more interesting, because we asked, who else have they interviewed? And again, I was shocked to find that they had spent time on this file interviewing 8 other people,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And I asked them, I said, well, how much time have you wasted on this file, knowing that there is no hate complaint? What is going on here, right? What is going on here? And I should tell you, there will be a complaint going to the RCMP, because I, as a taxpayer and somebody who speaks out on these issues, am so tired of the bully politics that are being used by individuals. Now, what concerns me about this discussion is as we carried on, because then they alluded to the fact that not only had they viewed the tape, but also they had sent it off to the provincial hate crimes unit to view.
knowing that there was nothing in it, well, because they said
just
nothing.
Just to check, I don't
just
know.
To check, yeah. And they got a little cautious with us, and well, you got a little close.
When so they're ignoring like women being murdered on the streets, kind of thing, and they've got time for this. Sorry,
well, that's
outrageous.
That's because those police officers are too busy watching porn, from what we hear from the missing women's inquiry, right? Mm. Yeah. So we find out that this is not going for Finch hate crime, and that there was something where you got kind of close. Now, did you get nervous at that moment, Gordon?
No, I wasn't nervous. I mean, I was intrigued because, I mean, obviously they feel that deep down, you know, maybe I was touching on a nerve or something. I like to know what that nerve was.
Well, they manufactured your evidence, right? And we well, bring it on. So what was this close? Well, when Mr. World started talking about lifestyles and the spreading of disease. Now, this ironically struck a chord with one of the officers, right? And so I could see his reaction so physical in this that I asked him, I said, well, maybe the RCMP needs some training about, you know, what, you know, that's a true and factual statement, which is a complete defense, by the way, for hate speech. If you speak truth. Total defense. Homosexuals spread disease, and we said, well, the highest rate of transmission among the Canadian population is men having sex with men. Statistical fact. I mean, you can't argue with it. Oh yeah, well yeah, but not with. And then the one officer started getting very technical, and finally I said, well, maybe the RCMP needs more training about the real facts on this. If you think that's not a truthful statement, he says, well, I'm very familiar with the gay community. I said, oh really? Do you care to elaborate on that? No. And then Constable Gill got a little bit nervous at that point. So. You know, this is one of the things, people, and I'm going to be very blunt, that I'm very concerned about our law enforcement agents, our government offices. There seems to be a political party within these different agencies that is doing the bidding of homosexist activists. And again, we're always, you know, because we do get a lot of thank you carries for not including me in the broad activist gay community. I'm gay and I agree with you guys. That's a growing voice that's coming out stronger and stronger all the time. But there are political operatives within law enforcement agencies, including the Vancouver Police Department, including the RCMP, that have trained. They are now put into diversity sections or units, and they have a political agenda. And one that is not obviously based on fact or law, but on intimidation and silencing and getting people to conform to certain things. This is a very concerning aspect of what we are seeing in evidence through these kinds of intimidation tactics. Because you have to, do you agree with me? This was all about intimidating you into silence?
Absolutely. I mean, again, they could have looked at this, addressed it, dismissed it within, and you know, not even having to have to meet with me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Save a lot of money,
yeah. Save my time, save a week of me wondering what's going on.
Police available to people who need the police. There's people who need the police sometimes.
Have you noticed that their definition of diversity does not include us?
Yeah. Common sense, civil Canadians.
It doesn't include very many people, actually.
No.
It's rather alarming.
It's very exclusive.
Very narrow
I mean, it's
club.
Like, but basically what they're doing is like there's a certain dogma. I mean, there's lots of different dogmas out there. There's Catholic dogma, Marxist dogma, all kinds of dogma. And the schools are not allowed to teach a dogma anymore. I mean, before, you know, it was the privileged Protestant Christianity, basically, and now they can't do that. And now they're saying it's this dogma or you know, my way or the highway, or, you know, and that's not what diversity means. It's like, yeah, we have to have the atheists and the Catholics and the Protestants and the agnostics and the Muslims and everybody else all together, and we actually can get along. We do get along.
Well, and that's what strikes me when you put the Burnaby Parents Voice people together, which was, I mean, talk about a diverse collection of people from all walks of life, and how harmoniously and respectfully and caringly you guys all work together.
Well, and the diversity isn't just our skin color or where our parents were born. It's what we believe. I mean, I'm sure I disagree with Gordon and Homer about all sorts of important things, but we can work on other things together.
Not about the chickens in the backyard, though.
Well, I like the chickens in the backyard.
So do I.
But you know, maybe some people don't, but it's like, I mean, we can, like, this idea, to me, it's a core thing that the Supreme Court has honored, and it's that in Canada, people who do not agree about really important things, is there a God, is there not a God, whatever, they can still work together and enjoy each other and be friends. I mean, I get friends, close friends, we disagree about all sorts of stuff. We can work on things together. And we can sometimes even discuss those difficult issues sometimes.
And disagree and still like each other without calling each other names.
Eat cookies.
Okay, so we proceed down this meeting. We've now determined that they're wasting taxpayers' money. They don't have any concerns. Then this constable, the activist constable, starts to say, put words into your mouth and skewing the words that you spoke, accusing you of saying all homosexuals. This is not what you said.
I did not say that.
That's not even relevant to this. So this is how desperate this constable was to start pushing his agenda. And that concerned me. But I want to just ask you one more question before we proceed, Gordon. Now, you
was
had
an entrapment issue. Was he trying to entrap Gordon in this meeting?
There was a lot of that because now the recorder's out, right? Oh no, there was those tactics.
He was trying to get you to say something.
Yeah. Did they ask your permission to record?
In this case, they did. Yeah, for the statement. Yes.
Yeah,
the statement.
But you have to remember too, Ron. We said, if you guys need any recordings, we're happy to facilitate.
The CBC,
we had recorders on the table.
It's a veritable recording studio they're walking into.
Well, CBC did this. CBC did a very long interview with me, on camera and over the phone about 5:45, and then didn't air any of it. So it was like, and we know that they had beforehand tweeted back and forth, we're going to reveal their parents' voice true mandate. And so I knew that before they called, but I enjoyed the interview. It was a long interview, in depth, about 5:45 distant aspects that I see is problematic with it, and they didn't air any of it. There was another CBC interview on radio that they did, that was on because it was live, and it's not on, you can't look at it, that was, or you listen to it now because it's not but it was a TV interview.
But forgive me, Gordon, they wanted to record your statement about something that they had already said there was nothing there.
Quote unquote, you know, something to the fact, we want your side on it.
On something that was,
they'd already said
there's nothing there.
No, yeah, they referred to you as your statement.
Being called your statement. And I respectfully said, you know, I don't have much to say. I mean, you know, what was said, and you guys have viewed it.
Now.
So, you know, let's
go.
Yeah, I don't have much to say.
Okay, time is fast going here. So after we did this recording, they basically said that, they still hadn't talked to Deb Sutherland or the student, but we got the information about it, and they proceeded to leave. You said, you know, what happens now? Nothing, you know, there's nothing here, right?
Yeah, there's a shaking of hands, and basically, you're off the hook.
Now, I want to ask you, though, you know, you obviously had to wait a week, which, I mean, it wore on me knowing, you know, a few days in advance that you were having to go through this. Like, what are they up to here? How is this for your wife and your children? I mean, this had to affect your family to a degree.
To a degree. I mean, I let my wife... Yeah, you know, I'm careful how I break these things to my wife there. I mean, to be truthful, my thick skin has gotten, I think, an inch thicker through this campaign. Mm-hmm. I can take bullets through my skin now. So,
and you have.
I dodge them too. Anyways, so I personally wasn't, I could have been, but I didn't allow myself to be affected. To some degree, my wife and my kids certainly were. I mean, it's not every day you have the cops show up at your door, right?
No, it's stressful for children.
Yeah,
dad is under investigation.
Yeah,
your neighbors might see that and wonder what's going on.
Yeah, what's daddy doing, right? So, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so when we finish this interview tonight, we're just going to play you the whole video of the interview with the RCMP officers. I want to conclude just by coming back to some of the other tactics that were done by the teachers, because I see this as these activist teachers using whatever tools they can possibly get their hands on to cause this debate to be silenced, a debate that will not be silenced, by the way. But during this campaign, there was this resurrected death threat that came up.
Oh, the death threat.
And, you know,
so tacky.
Well, you know what? In all honesty, as a person who gets death threats and who was also being having people investigate for death threats against me, I want to say this. You know, we don't make a whole bunch of hay about it because you don't want to encourage other people to do it. And one day we're going to all come back and do a show about, you know, why the Burnaby School District is being very irresponsible and talking about youth suicide and teen suicide and all those things, because we know that that encourages other kids to start considering that this is an option. But when you looked at this this death threat, for one thing, it's not even it's not language that you would see coming from concerned parents or anything else. Yet the innuendo it was targeted that you guys were somehow responsible.
Well, James Sanchin, the Burnaby Teachers Association vice president, stood up at November 1st debate
yeah.
and asked Charter Lau. And I carefully listened to the video. Are you aware of hate threats to staff that might have come from your supporters? And then Charter says no. And then he asks a question to everybody: what do you think of a party that engenders hate? Blah blah blah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I noticed they don't want to say they avoid
carefully
naming
couched.
The name. They're he's like gone over this with a fine tooth legal comb. Like the might have and. A party.
Yeah.
It's I mean, it was so, I mean, I read this. It didn't even mention us. It's it looks like it's written by a child. I'm not sure.
Well, that was my first thought.
But if it's a serious, if it's a serious thing, why did you wait till November 1st from the beginning of June? Because he said it was the beginning of June to publicize threats to the staff. I mean, take these things seriously, you know. And then the Burnaby Now puts it on the front page with the whole this tacky letter
and the dripping sword.
And it's like and makes a big thing of it.
Yes.
Now, they did mention that we did offer a $2,000 reward, but not until a few days later and not on the front page.
Well, you guys were forthcoming. You said, let's get the culprit.
If these kinds of nonsense going on.
And
if teachers are being threatened, I mean, if I was a teacher,
wait a
I want to know.
Now, did the Burnaby Teachers Association or the current Board of School Trustees chip in and up the ante of the reward?
No, they
the
didn't.
Reward?
We offered, we said, you know, challenged them to match that, and they didn't.
Well, then they're not serious about finding the culprit.
Well, they're not serious about anything, because I mean, if you wait till November 1st, and this is allegedly received at the beginning of June, you're not serious about protecting your teachers at all.
Yeah.
And as you're their representative in the BTA, James, why didn't you do that?
Okay, we're gonna end this interview because we've gone way over time, but that's okay because it's Roadkill Radio, and this is the Roadkill Universe, and we can do what we want. These teachers, James Sanchin, Deb Sutherland. Are these teachers you would trust to teach your children?
Absolutely not. I hope there's not a day when my child finds them as their teacher.
Well, I think people need to, when you put your child in public school, we buy our pizza. We take more care to choose where we buy it from. When you get your hair done, I don't get my hair done, but people take more time to choose their hairdresser. But they put their kid in a school with people that they don't know from a hole in the wall, and the kid's there for 25 hours on, you know, more or less a week. And we need to reflect on this. We don't know these people. I'd like to know them better, and we should have mechanisms by which we can, the biographies, or what's your teaching philosophy and method? What are you going to actually teach? What material is going to use? So we have a more upfront kind of thing, because you don't buy any other service or in this manner with such little care. And these are your children. These are your most precious thing, precious people, whatever, in your entire life, and you put them with total strangers you know nothing about.
And who have no quality control to speak of because of, this code of silence that goes on. And we saw that with the bully teacher situation where other teachers,
Well, they're all afraid of getting fired.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we also saw it with the BC College of Teachers and the list of teachers who had been found guilty of
sexual
of
offenses.
Offenses,
yes,
and we're not dismissed or we're not disciplined.
Yes.
Well, we just need to have, teachers, most teachers aren't doing all that kind of stuff, but whatever their philosophy and approach and materials are, just put it out there. Like, when I tutor kids, they get it word of mouth, that's why they come to me, and if they're not happy, they tell me, we want them to do this instead, and I'll change. And if I don't do what they want, they just, or I can't do what they want, I don't teach French very well, so they go somewhere else, and
yep.
That's fine.
Well,
and they need to understand. The BC College needs to understand, so does the Teachers Union, that covering for the bad ones tars every teacher with the same brush.
Yeah. Yeah.
They need to discipline the bad ones so we can trust.
We have
the good
confidence
ones.
In the system.
And we need
yeah.
to meet these are people. We need to meet them individually, even if you like them, but maybe they're just not the best person for your kid. I mean,
there you go. All right, and that's a whole nother show because, you know, we want to encourage parents to take their roles as parents, their responsibilities to safeguard your children's best interests mm-hmm. very much. Just because a teacher is a teacher and certified and you think that because it's convenient that the system is taking care and has properly vetted these people, don't. You are the parent. You are to be always watching.
And even if you like them as a person, what are they actually teaching? I mean, what's your idea about what should be taught?
Well, and the most important question is who do you recognize as the primary educator? You know, do they recognize parents? Because I tell you, if you find that answer out, you're going to know a whole lot about who's teaching your child and where they're coming from.
Amen.
People, we have run out of time a long time ago. Helen Ward, Gordon World, tell me you're not going to go away. Tell me that you're, well, Helen, I know you have, it's just not in you.
Yeah.
You are a regular here. You are always welcome. And I personally just thank you so much for all your good work.
Thank you.
Whether it's exposing the invasion of privacy at UBC, which we should probably do an update on that. To all the other issues of whether it's putting two-year-olds in all-day kindergarten now. Isn't that where we're going next?
Well, that was proposed, you know, a couple of years back.
Yeah. But now we're seeing it happen, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And Gordon, you're getting to be a regular here, and we're glad.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm getting to be quite regular. I'm regular here, yes.
But let's hear your answer to Carrie's question. Is Burnaby Parents' Voice going to stay in the fight?
We ain't going nowhere. According to the cover of the Burnaby Now, we're going to be a thorn in the side.
Now, can we believe them in that news coverage?
Yes, that's
a
great question. Yes.
All right, everybody, stay with us if you want to watch the video. Meet the RCMP officers that are spending your tax dollars so wisely, investigating crimes that they know don't exist. I'm Carrie Simpson.
I'm Ron Gray.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
I'm Carrie Simpson.
Paul Gill.
Hi, nice to meet you. And you're?
Steve Whitaker.
And you're with the Arts Institute?
Yeah.
Okay. And do you have both the cards?
I don't have
one. Probably.
One's a good Boy Scout, the other?
Yeah. Should have one here. Sometimes I run out.
And one of your pockets.
Okay. Excellent. Great. Thank you very much. Okay. Great. Is there somewhere quiet that we can talk?
This is as quiet as it gets here. If we can have you. Okay. Yeah.
Someone private.
Well, I'd like to have my advocate with me actually for this discussion.
Okay.
Why do you need ID?
To verify who you are.
Oh, I'm Carrie Simpson. That's fine. You don't need identification for that.
Are you worried about something?
No.
Yeah, like I need something with your like your date of birth. This doesn't have that on it.
Why?
To verify who you are.
Well, he's told you I'm his advocate.
Okay. I'm not trying to be difficult.
No, it's neither am I.
A little bit. Do you have a driver's license?
I do, but I'm not going to give it to you. You have my card there.
Can I ask you what?
Because I'm not being investigated for anything.
No, you're not.
Right.
You're not.
So let's get on with it.
Okay.
Morning, Tom.
Yeah. I spoke to you last week.
Yeah, pretty
good. The coming, the guest statement from you. There was a complaint made against you regarding the delegation speech that you made at the Burnaby School Board office. So we came here to get your side of the story, just to see what happened.
Okay, before we, well, I'll be quite guarded on what I say today, but I'd like to know some issues with regards to the complaint, who made the complaint, when it was made, et cetera, et cetera. So can you fill me in a little bit on that?
Sure. You know exactly when it was made?
It was the week after the, it was on the 25th.
25th was the delegation?
Yeah.
Okay. So the following week
after, yeah.
Okay.
And just so you're clear, you don't have to say anything to us.
And okay. I'll be saying very little to you, actually.
Yeah, no, and that's fair. I encourage you, if you're not comfortable, if there's something you don't want to say, don't say anything to us, okay? Make that very clear, okay? There's been a complaint made.
I understand.
Now, as the police, we're investigating a potential criminal act, okay? And once we've gathered all of our evidence, we will consult with Crown if necessary, if we believe that there was a criminal act that happened. Okay. If not, then we conclude the file as such.
Okay.
And tell the complainant, look, there's nothing here that should involve the police.
Okay. Okay. Who is the complainant? You said school district coordinator.
Yeah, it was a counselor from Burnaby.
Hayes or Burton?
No.
No.
The counselor from Burnaby North Secondary.
Oh, yeah. Burnaby North?
Deb Southern.
Yes.
Deb Southern, yeah. She's
Southern.
The counselor at North Secondary.
Southern, okay. A known entity, yes. Okay. What else can you tell me about the complaint?
Just regarding, is it regarding your delegation speech?
Okay. What about it?
Oh, just that there was concern that it was promoting hate speech. Specifically toward gay and lesbians.
Okay.
Yeah.
Specifically.
Have you personally seen the
yes.
the 10-minute clip?
Yes.
Okay.
What do you find concerning about the clip then?
I'm sorry.
What is in the clip that concerned you that we are all meeting here this morning?
We're meeting here because we have to talk to everybody involved.
But you've
okay.
seen the clip.
Yes. Yes,
okay.
We have.
So are there any words or actions within that clip that have you concerned that a criminal act has been...
At this point, no.
Okay. I'm glad you said that.
Yeah. Okay. We still have to talk to everybody.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I appreciate that.
And
yeah.
before we give our opinions on things,
yeah.
we like to talk to people because
okay.
our opinions can obviously taint what other people say to us.
Mm.
So if anybody is involved in anything, and again, you don't have to say anything. I don't want to put you in a position.
No, of course. I understand that. But I'm just saying, I mean, I appreciate you coming here today. I'm
mm-hmm.
somewhat happy to see you. But at the end of the day, if you collectively, as RCMP, didn't think there was a case or potential case, then you would have just dismissed it already.
We could, but we're thorough in the sense that you have a right to know. And so I want to make sure, like, we don't have to come here and talk to you,
mm-hmm.
But I think it's necessary that you know what's going on,
mm-hmm.
and if you do want to say something regarding it, you do have that right as well. You have the right not to say something, but you also have a right to speak.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. Whatever, it doesn't matter. I mean, what was said, and it'll be
yeah.
deemed whether that was hate speech or not hate speech. What I say after the fact is really, doesn't matter, right? There's no side to my story. I stood up, I spoke for 10 minutes, and somebody didn't like that, with a mandate, didn't like that, and has, you know, reported it to you.
Exactly.
And, I, you know, that is that, right? I mean, there's,
I'm not going to say anything about that. I mean,
no, and you don't have to.
Yeah,
you don't have to. We're here just to tell you.
Well, yeah, but I mean, and the reason why I'm here too is because there's growing concern over the fear and intimidation tactics that are being used by some of the gay politicos, if you will. Deb Sutherland has a history that goes back. She made a human rights complaint against me way back in 1997. And I think for us taxpayers, we get a little tired of our resources being used, especially in this case where you've already said you viewed the 10-minute clip. Mm-hmm. It speaks for itself. I mean, this mm-hmm. is, you know, ludicrous. Now, I think there's growing concern among the public, too, that there seems to be from our law enforcement officials just sort of a willingness to cater to the political activists within the gay community as well. And that's concerning for a lot of us because you've had to, Mr. World here has spent, you know, a week wondering whether or not he's going to be charged. Why didn't anybody tell him that there was no concerns from the RCMP's point of view?
We never said we were looking at charges. We just said we were investigating a complaint.
Mm-hmm. Well, but how do you think that resonates with the public and Mr. World in particular?
Well, we can't give anything until we've actually
been sought.
Of course,
yeah. We've got reporters.
We have.
So we'll be happy to give you.
We don't generally give a conclusion until a conclusion is made, right? And I'd rather talk to you in person about it anyway. We didn't view the tape right away.
Right. When did you view the tape?
Last week.
Okay. Now, is there any public mischief charges that can be levied against Ms. Sutherland for being constantly involved in these kinds of complaints?
Constantly involved. This is the first time I've seen her name.
Okay. So what, did she make a written complaint? Did she phone you? How did
she phone?
She phoned. Okay. And she was the only one that's associated with this complaint?
No, there was a student as well.
And who was the student?
I believe he got up and spoke as well.
He received an award that day at the
October 25th. I don't know his name, but I
think he got up because he's on the tape. He gets up and speaks.
He was going to receive a Governor's General or whatever, some award, and then he got up and spoke. Yes.
Yeah.
That's great. Okay. So.
I think their case is from what I get from reviewing it, and I don't think it's hate speech. And we've consulted with there's a hate crime unit as well.
Yeah, we're familiar with them, yeah.
Okay. And they listen to it as well. And the only thing that could have been a concern if it went a little bit further was in mention to the lifestyle, without quoting it, but the health risks in their lifestyle. Now, that's not hate speech.
That's a fact.
Okay, I'm curious as to how
no,
that.
It's not a fact.
No, but I'm saying if you are a homosexual, you have a higher chance of getting HIV, et cetera. That is a fact.
Well, I will say that if you say something like gay and lesbians spread the disease, that would be hate speech.
I didn't say that.
Well, actually,
because truth is a defense. If you look at the statistics, men having sex with men is the highest HIV transmission rate in Canada. Fact.
Sure, but you can use protection just like anybody can.
Yeah, but regardless, the fact is that their community is not doing that. Okay, and that's why we have...
You're saying all homosexuals don't use protection?
What I'm saying is the men having sex with men is the highest stat for transmission of HIV and other sexually transmitted diseases.
If they don't use protection.
That's empirical evidence. That's on people.
Okay, but you can't say it all.
I never did. I said it's the highest category identified by our stats for transmission of HIV. Right?
Sure.
Okay, and if you look at the Health Initiative for Men, they say 1 in 5 gay guys in Vancouver has HIV. There's that. Then we will go into the throat cancer that's outperforming lung cancer now because of them sucking on everybody's coughs and all the rest of it, okay? Those are facts. Those are their words, too, okay? You know, that this is where I think the RCMP probably needs a little bit of training as far as what's really going on within this community and what's happening as well. Truth is a full defense.
I'm well aware of what's going on.
Good. Good. Why are you well aware, out of curiosity?
It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter, but I am aware.
No, actually, it does, because
that's not why we're here.
We're finding a lot of bias and a lot of political movement on these issues, okay? Talking about the health risks associated with homosexuality is not a hate crime. That's a fact. Good.
That's what I'm saying.
No, what you said was the one thing that borderline on hate was talking about the lifestyle.
Yeah, and I said that's not a hate crime. I said if you said that they do spread the disease, that would be considered hate speech.
Do homosexual men having sex with other men without using protection is a fact that could lead to the transmission of HIV?
Could.
Yeah.
Okay, that's different than saying spreads the disease.
But it...
I was very guarded. I felt I was very guarded and very tame with my comments, and that's why I'm very surprised that, because I mean, this was vetted. I've had multiple eyes on this speech here. I read it word for word.
Well, I'm glad you did vet it, considering the audience, right? Because there was kids there getting a word. So
I toned it down.
I toned it down.
I was going to go a lot more graphic, but I didn't want to.
Yeah, no,
completely.
I commend you for that, because that's knowing your audience is a good thing. Right?
The hate crimes unit is within the RCMP. Do you have a specific officer within your detachment?
No.
No, it's the provincial.
Provincial.
Okay. And who was that you consulted with?
That would have been Corporal Levis, L-E-V-A-S.
Okay, while you guys are here, we would like to make a complaint for hate speech, and this does fall within it. And those are the comments that are found on Extra West, a publication that you're probably familiar with, targeting Asians and Christians, talking about destroying their businesses, telling them to leave the country.
Okay. We're here for this spot. You can't make a complaint directly to me.
Oh.
You can call the police.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, are you also familiar with the program that Deb Sutherland has brought into the school called Outing Schools?
Which is what I spoke to. Yeah. About half of what I spoke on was Outing Schools. Yeah.
Now, are you familiar that this program was luring children to the Queer Film Festival through the public service announcement aspect of it?
Luring them?
Luring them, as in the criminal code luring.
I know what the word means.
Yeah, and then exposing them to hardcore gay porn through the H&M facility that was pictured there, and then involving them in a game called Lesbian Debauchery and the Query Audit Table, which taught them about terms like rooming and glory hole and all those other kinds of things. Did Ms. Sutherland speak or address any of these issues that she was involved
in? So out of school lures kids to hardcore gay porn?
Yes. Okay, so did
she... That's not what the school board is saying.
Well, I know what the school board is saying. Of course, they don't want to admit those kinds of things, right? And we have pictures of the kids attending at the Queer Film Festival, the Fierce and Fabulous Party, playing the periodic game and lesbian debauchery, which is a dirty, silly drinking game, according to the people who put it together. So, are you interested in any of this information?
Regarding this, no.
Okay. Do you want to make a complaint otherwise, then?
Yeah, you can call the police and open the file that way.
Mm-hmm.
But we're here for a different matter, right?
Oh, that's all. The speech was on out.
It is related.
That's true. Yes. Okay. But if you want to make a complaint about them having that in their schools, that can be done through me.
All right. Now, have you interviewed Ms. Sutherland at this point?
No, because she wasn't there.
Okay. And so...
We've interviewed people that were there. Not.
There, where?
At the meeting. Okay.
Can we ask who else did you interview?
There was a few.
Yep. Burton, I'm sure.
So Gina Nicole Warren. Gina Nicole Warren. She's assistant superintendent.
Okay, Gina. Yeah.
Heather Hart.
Heather Hart.
Who is she?
She is assistant superintendent.
Okay, sorry. And what did she say about her? Did she have concerns over what was said?
In general, there wasn't really a hate concern. It was, the general feel that we got from most people was that it wasn't.
They felt it was inappropriate. They felt I was confrontational, et cetera, et cetera. But
yeah, not,
there's no law against being inappropriate.
I spoke to Larry Hayes.
Mm-hmm.
And again, no, he didn't make any complaints on hate speech, or?
No one's made a complaint.
Okay, nobody said that this was hate speech then. So how many people have you interviewed then?
I'm just going through it right now.
I know Burton said publicly in the NL or something that he was pretty miffed about it.
Was
Claudio Morelli.
Super, yep.
Did you interview Burton as well?
We're just going through it.
Okay.
And I said there he is, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, Ginger Nray.
Mm-hmm. One of the counselors.
Kevin Cordell.
Cordell, yeah. He's a vice super.
Gary Wong.
Trust me.
And Ron Burton.
Burton, yes, I'm sure he had more things to say. Okay, so I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 in addition to Deb and the student, right?
I have 8.
Yeah, the student was interviewed, but not Deb, because Deborah wasn't there.
She just
made the good. Okay, good. Burton, Wong. Cardell, Lorraine, Morelli, Hayes, Hart, and what did Gina's last name?
Warren.
Huh?
Warren.
Warren. Okay, Warren. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, right.
And so, just out of curiosity, how much time have you spent on this file?
It's basically been these interviews and reviewing the tape and talking to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So
you met individually with all these individuals?
Yeah, actually, most of them were done around the same time. We had a meeting last week as well. Gore, is there anything you want to say about the speech?
Not particularly, no.
Okay, so we'll just end the statement there.
Constable Gill, we conclude the statement at 9 o'clock. Date is November 22nd, 2011.
That's it. Thanks, guys.
Okay, so where does it go? Where do we go from here?
This file will be concluded after speaking to yourself.
Concluded, meaning?
Concluded. There's, like, nothing is going to come from it as far as the criminal investigation goes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you have nothing to worry about as far as
okay, I can
charges or everything go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good to hear.
Yeah. That's what I mean by concluded. It's all done. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks so much, eh?
Okay. Nice meeting you.
Thank you. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Near harassment with phone calls and emails from you, and I just want to make sure that what you present today is done respectfully, and again, this is as well not a political soapbox, but you're welcome to make your presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hayes. Okay, I wish I had, again, happier, lighter, fluffy things to talk about today, but unfortunately these are serious matters, and I'll get right into it. It took a Freedom of Information request to reveal that in the 2010-2011 school year, 32 copies of the Out in Schools Teacher's Resource Guide and DVD sets were purchased by the Burnaby School District. 4 copies were placed in each of the 8 high schools, student services and applied skills departments, and libraries, plus 4 additional copies for a total of 36 copies. Annual Out in Schools presentations have occurred since 2004 at Burnaby North. 2011 marked the Out in Schools presentation, the first one, at Mosscroft. While the Out in Schools film and video presentations claim to engage youth and educators on issues related to homophobia and violence, this is a Trojan horse. What Out in Schools is really designed to do is dupe parents into believing that the school/district is doing good work, when in fact their children are being lured into a world of sex activism. Where is it stated that the Ministry of Education requires Burnaby students to become political sex activists? Is this objective student sex activism with an ability to parrot homosexual propaganda a goal supported by this board? It is unfathomable that, directly or indirectly, hardcore gay pornography is being promoted in Burnaby schools under the guise of an anti-bullying program. This includes links to sites and events which sexually explicit pictures and messages. The list of student resources in the Teacher's Resource Guide, allegedly approved by the Ministry of Education, and I say allegedly, includes Health Initiative for Men, abbreviated to HIM sometimes, an internet website featuring videos of hardcore gay pornography. Vancouver School Board Trustee Ken Dinike, and School Board candidate Sophia Wu have spoken of recently on this matter. Dinike states, speaking of the website, I thought it was really inappropriate, especially for a 13-year-old. This is material that's on XTube, which is really adult material. Once clicking on the link, it opens explicit videos of naked men having sex and messages. Kind of short in our mixed audience today, but anyway, then there is the Out in Schools presentation itself and all that happens afterward. One of the activities under the so-called anti-bullying program invites students to create a short anti-homophobia video to be used as a public service announcement, a PSA, and to enter their videos in a contest run by Out on Screen. The winning PSAs are promised prizes and public recognition at a presentation ceremony. That ceremony is held in conjunction with Vancouver's Queer Film Festival, a festival that features hardcore porn and other important sex matters. Students who attend the PSA Awards ceremony are invited to a fierce and fabulous under 25 party that includes playing lesbian debauchery, described as a dirty drinking game, and their chance to learn the queriotic table. Displays of gay pornography are evident at the party and awards presentations, moving children from observing homosexual resources to actually joining in. As trustees and administrators, I have to ask the question, what were you thinking when you allowed Out in Schools to be permitted in Burnaby classrooms? And for 7 years running now, were you simply duped by the candy coating on the rotten apple? Were you pressured by activist educators or counselors? Do you even know what transpires at these programs? Did you believe the lie espoused by Out in Schools that the program had been sent for Ministry of Education approval? Have you advised parents that this program is not approved by the ministry, nor have they received submission for such? Have you told parents that this program lures their children into hardcore gay porn? What precautions did you take to ensure the presenters had criminal record checks? Did any Burnaby students accept the invitation from Out in School presenters to attend the Fierce and Fabulous party? Do you as trustees believe it is appropriate to expose students to pornography? Do you as trustees support the use of the queriotic table as an educational resource? And I won't get into that because it's very graphic. How is learning these queriotic terms going to diminish bullying? Have you reviewed any of the propagandist short films associated with this program, the DVD that comes with the program? Do you believe students should be indoctrinated with anti-religious propaganda? Do you agree that students should be made aware of the health risks associated with homosexuality? How does the district address the life and death issues? Are you as trustees simply gullible, or do you really believe that this program is actually designed to diminish bullying? Allow me to show you what some of your actions have generated. I want you to hear these comments and learn that sex activism masquerading as anti-bullying is not about making the world a better place. It is about giving special rights to a group of people that have no tolerance for other people's opinions. My wife is Chinese. The racist hatred contained in the comments below, and I'll just go through a couple of these to give the general idea, have been fanned, again, by your ignorance and failure to provide sound nonpartisan governance. These are very graphic, so I'll try to give you the general idea. But again, these are all comments that have been put in articles over the last few months that have related to, again, 545 policies and many news stories that have sprung from those. I'll just read a couple. Just like you didn't choose to be a bigoted Asian F-face, I didn't choose to be gay, it goes on and on. What kind of country lets itself become a Chinese colony without a shot fired? Maybe these type of Chinese parents could spend more time not raising brats that race their high-priced cars down highways, risking other people's lives, and less time worrying about crushing gay rights. Then there's just plain old hate.
Mr. World, what really does that have to do with Elgin Schools, and what does that have to do with the Burnaby School District?
May I finish my presentation? Well, there'll be time for questions afterwards. I've never been a gay basher who was not a closeted homosexual. Come out, we know you're in there. Again, these are all real life. I can show you exactly where they are online here. This is completely bigoted, ignorant BS. Elgin Schools promotes education about diversity, Help take this crazy homophobic person down. There's actual death threats online here. Anyways, concerning the Elgin Schools program, is it your intention to allow it to be presented in Burnaby Schools again? The Ministry of Education has stated in writing that they have not received any form of request from out of schools for approval status. So why do you offer and continue to offer a program that does not have ministry approval, nor has even been submitted? A Vancouver school board trustee called for annual reviews of online teaching materials after it was revealed out in schools was linked to websites featuring explicit materials. What have you done about this as trustees here in Burnaby? The district has reported to the media that parents of Mosscrop received information letters that out in schools would be presenting. But what about parents of Burnaby North? Did they also receive similar notifications? The interdepartmental memo from SB 41 admin directs this resource to be placed in libraries. Does this mean a grade 8 student can go and grab this guide off the shelf, including links to hardcore gay porn? Has the board questioned what qualifies out in schools facilitators, activists/activists Ross Johnstone and Jen, and again, this is her online moniker, her nickname, it's on her blog, Gender Fucked Son. Would you want that person teaching your kids about this? How can you not question the intent of a so-called anti-bullying program that instead of identifying a reduction in bullying incidents and name-calling as the principal criterion, measures its impact, and I quote, by the visibility of queer resources and issues at schools, and wants teachers to include historically significant LGBT events in their curriculum? It is unfortunate that my mere questioning why the board chose to permit Elgin Schools program into Burnaby's in the first place and continues to employ its services will likely lead to more hateful comments from activists, like it has over the past few months. There have been sickening
comments. Yeah, 1 minute, if you could wrap up.
Oh, I will. There have been sickening comments made by both press and individuals over the last few months. Does this sound like the kind of tolerance we should be trying to achieve as a district and as a society? This hate speech full of expletives and often racist in nature is occurring because you as trustees created policy 545 in violation of BC Ministry of Education's requirements for creating policy under a safe, caring, and orderly school guide. And it seems in violation of Burnaby's own policy 1.10, district policy and policy development, in so much that you did not properly consult parents, students, and staff. I understand you're in receipt of many more examples of hate speech that have been sent to you by many concerned individuals. Months have now passed since these concerns have been raised, yet you have not apparently still not apparently provided Burnaby parents and taxpayers with answers. Why not? Have there been discussions on how to deal with this? What actions are the Burnaby School Board and Burnaby School District taking to deal with this growing wave of hate speech that is being directed at parents and their families? Is there a plan to implement concrete steps and actions so that all families in Burnaby schools are safe? Finally, it is...
Mr. Worrell, that's your time. Thank you very much. Trustees, any questions or clarifications from the delegation? Trustee Burden.
Just a clarification. I'm glad that you tried to espouse what our goal was. What our goal is to promote awareness and tolerance. I can see by your presentation we've got a long ways to go. Thank you.
If that's your goal, thank you, Mr. Worrell.
Thank you.
Okay. We look forward to it. Thank you. Okay. I'll limit my questions to three. The first one is, and as I asked before.
Yeah, if you could do it one at a time, Mr. Worrell, just so we can give an opportunity to get right into your answers.
Yes.
Thank you.
I will ask one at a time. Have you advised parents that this program being out in schools, is not approved by the Ministry of Education?
Question. We could check with our staff on that, Assistant Superintendent Cardell.
Simple answer is that materials that are used by teachers have to meet prescribed learning outcomes that are identified by the ministry. The resources in terms of materials are not necessarily all approved by the ministry. There's a wealth of materials that our professional teachers have to use. And so it's a bit of a misnomer to believe that every material used in a classroom has ministry approval. They don't approve all materials, but all materials must meet prescribed learning outcomes. This resource does.
Okay, further to that comment, out in schools alleged to have submitted it to Ministry of Education. Ministry of Education said in writing that they had never received such submission. How would you respond to that?
Mr. Cardell?
I believe you'd have to ask that question to out in school, and we were not part of their application at all.
Okay. Second question. Has there been discussion on, and I talked about the hate speech, has there been discussion on how to deal with hate speech?
Superintendent Morelli, do you have some input on that?
I do have some input. We haven't had specific discussions, but we're certainly saddened and concerned about the negative tone and contents of some of the discussion that has occurred, primarily on the online exchanges that have happened, some of them that you referred to this evening and read about. And they've either been directly or loosely related to policy 5.45. We don't have specifically, the district doesn't have any control over that information that is exchanged on external websites. We regret that some of those websites have propagated erroneous and offensive information. With the age of electronic web-based communications, regretful that some people hide behind anonymity to say deeply offensive and harmful things, and some of the things that you said were certainly of that caliber. We encourage our staff, our students, and our parents to check sources and the accuracy of any information before accepting and or sharing it. As you are aware, Mr. Worrell, in our discussions, we're very courteous in the tone and content in all our district communication, including the communication regarding policy 5.45. We model respectful communication behavior in the district. We have policy 5.08, that's a positive school climate that includes a district code of conduct, which expects all members of the school community to treat others with respect and courtesy and to conduct themselves in a manner worthy of the respect of others in order to promote safe and positive school climates. If there is a district employee that does engage in such behavior, and we know that and we find out about it, that contravenes the district code of conduct, we would deal with that employee and act appropriately to correct the behavior. We've had positive discussions with members of the community, and we are grateful for those individuals who do keep the conversations on a roll and respectful. Do we agree on everything? No, we don't. But the conversations do have to be maintain a degree of honor and respect. And again, I'd like to say that we are saddened by some of those exchanges, but we don't have any specific control over what we can do when people go online.
And I would just like to add as well, Mr. World, that just like what Mr. Morelli has said about we can't be tarred with the brush of what others in the community say, it's we would not tar you and those that don't support 5.45 for what is said toward us. There are, as I'm sure you know, websites out there, Roadkill Radio being one of them, that certainly does not say flattering things about any of us. And as well, which has not been public, there have been death threats coming towards some of us. So we certainly do not turn that into a personal attack against those who are opposed to 5.45. There are lots of different people in the world, and unfortunately, the electronic age, the way it is, as Mr. Morelli said, creates anonymity for people, and I think that's just the way of the world right now. So I don't think we can be tarred with that brush, as we would not tar you and your supporters for that brush with that brush. Thank you.
Finally, and I guess I know the answer to this one, but is there a plan to implement concrete steps and actions so that all families in Burnaby schools are safe?
Somebody want to take that one? Superintendent Morelli?
Well, I think we've answered some of that already. I believe that the district does that. We take extremely seriously the fact that we want our students, our staff, all our community members to come to our schools and provide a welcoming, safe environment for all of our students, our staff, and our parents, all our community members. So I think we're already doing that. That's my opinion.
Thank you. And any other trustees? Trustee Burton?
Yeah, we do, I believe we do a good job in keeping the school children safe and staff as well. And just going back to your presentation, you were alluding to homosexual pornography, lesbian pornography. We don't promote that any more than we promote regular pornography. We don't do any of that in our school. I believe that our, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe they can't access those type of websites from our schools.
Mr. Cardell.
That's correct. We do have filters on our technology that prevent access to those types of websites. And just to be clear, that the out-of-schools teachers learning resource guide, which is a teacher's guide not available to students, does not itself contain any explicit material, and does meet those prescribed learning outcomes that we identified earlier in answer to those questions.
Thank you. Mr. World?
Further to that, again, my concern is more towards the what happens after the presentation. I mean, the presentation itself is, you know, apparently pretty tame, but what happens after you get these, you know, these mini Academy Awards, you get all this stuff that's going on. That's one of the biggest concerns that I have, and I don't know if you've ever, how much do people know about that? I mean, what really goes on after this happens, right? There's the presentation, they do the PSA awards, there's a lot of stuff that goes on that perhaps you don't know about it, certainly their parents don't know about it. 25 years old, it's a 25 and under party. Even if their parents wanted to come, they're not permitted to go to these things. There's a lot of stuff that goes on there.
Mr. Cardell.
Any such activities are certainly not related to any work that's done in the Burnaby School Board or District, and as such would be something that happens in the community. We're not something we'd be responsible. We don't have any teacher sponsoring or taking students to those things.
Okay, but again...
Thank you. I think... Trustee Burton.
You talked about the Academy Awards. Well, I saw a commercial. It was done in Ireland, and it was about... two students were walking up the street and they're talking to each other, and the one looks at the other, and finally they hold hands, as they do. A group of students come around the corner, When they see them, they make fun of them. In the classroom, they make fun of them and harass them. And then one of the biggest kids said, "Do you want to hold hands? Do you really want to hold hands?" And he goes over and holds that child's hand. And then another child holds that hand, then another child, and another child, till all of them join together to show it, there's nothing wrong with it. And that's the kind of commercials that are coming out in other countries.
Okay, that's
and we don't want to stifle you, but you did say three. I think we're up to about five or six, but we could go on for certainly forever, but that's not the purpose of question period for ongoing dialogue.
Thank you.
Other questions? If you could, we know who you are, but if you could state your name.
I'm Chris, and I've spoken with you before. I was just here a few minutes ago. The previous speaker referred to dealing with hate speech, and I'm very curious indeed what the board has to say about hate speech that goes on from this very podium, calling homosexuals dangerous and diseased. Your response.
Well, I think we certainly would not be in favor of any name calling, whether whoever may be involved. Now, I think we, with our behavior codes in schools, perhaps Mr. Cardell, you'd like to comment on that.
Well, the board did enact a policy 545 to address that very specific issue, and we intend to educate our community members and hopefully our entire community by modeling that we'll have from students who will show respect and inclusion.
And Chris, I think in this particular venue, as you see, we get a lot of differing opinions here, and we try to be somewhat open in what we allow. I think people can make their own judgments, and I think a lot of people that watch this broadcast and hear about what's talked about in the media out of this room are sensible and can make their own judgments on what they hear.
Thank you.
Been listening to Roadkill Radio. Join us again next week for another trip down the superhighway of information, fact, and truth.
Cameras are rolling, audio is rolling. That's the camera that's doing the show. This is just side edits.
Okay, so I'll do the intro and then we'll just go right into it, okay? Hi everyone, I'm Carrie Simpson and this is Roadkill Radio. Joining me as co-host tonight in the other driver's seat is...
Ron Gray.
And to either side of us we have... I guess you guys are getting to be sort of regular roadkill people now. As Mark Hashik, one of our other guests on Roadkill, says, the roadkill universe. We have Helen Ward and Gordon, or Helen Ward, did I say that right to begin with?
Yeah. You did, yeah.
And Gordon Worrell. There's just too many W's on
it. Two W's.
Tell you. Is that good for trouble? I'm not sure. You know, it's just wrong or whatever? Yeah. Never.
Let's start with congratulations on a first time out for Burnaby Parents' Voice. That was a stellar beginning.
Well, and you know what? And this is what this show is about, because and when I've watched, because I mean, let's face it, the race for school trustee in Burnaby was epic. I mean, it was the saga of all sagas. It was I mean, let's face it, you guys just were the media attention.
You were,
you know, whether you wanted it or not.
The drama.
Yeah, the drama. Yeah, the ongoing drama. And that's what I want to talk about a little bit today, because there's so many different facets to what's gone on here. The conventional media, we all know that there's very particular bias, if you will, and we'll address that in a little while. There were the threats, the name calling. This was a dirty...